Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello. This is Michelle Cromer.
And this is Perla Maldonado.
And you are listening in or downloading our show, Where Am I Going?, where Perla and I ask ourselves some big questions and we search for meaningful answers, don't we, Perla?
Yes.
Well, we try anyway, don't we? We try to get those meetings. And we have a great show tonight. I'm so excited because we have an author who is a man who's written a terrific book. I enjoyed it very much, The Single Dad Detour, Directions for Fathering After Divorce, Tez Brooks. And before we have this fantastic man on our show, let's just talk a little bit about that dentist that killed the lion. What the heck?
That's so sad. You know how much of an animal lover I am.
I know. What is he thinking? And you know what? I've been hunting since I was a little girl, but you hunt and you eat. We deer, dove, I've quail, turkey, duck is really difficult. I've done that. But come on, people. Take a picture.
It's trophy hunting is what they call it.
It's ridiculous.
But you know what the good part is? That so many people are incensed. They're bringing more attention to this terrible thing about doing away with all the animals. I mean, you know, lions are becoming extinct.
Yeah, half the population has evaporated in the last 10 years.
I'm just so glad it's bringing some attention, and maybe they'll take up another hobby.
Yeah, exactly. So if the dentist is listening, please turn yourself in. And that reminds me, thank you all for listening. We're so delighted that you've decided to spend this 30 minutes with us and that you do so regularly. Aren't we just so shocked, Perlin?
Yes.
But we're so delighted. And I have big news. I didn't know this was going to happen yesterday, but my husband, Barry, interrupted a webinar I was in and said, let's go to Tucson. And I said, I'm sorry, excuse me? He goes, yeah, we're going to go to Tucson for the day, which is, listeners, 4.5 hours one way. And I said, okay.
Well, if Michelle drives, it's 3 hours.
Yeah, it's true. And I said, it's 11 o'clock, and then what? Well, we're going to buy Sam a German Shepherd puppy. So many of you might remember our sweet darling Golden Retriever Bella died April, and I have just been grieving, and you know, pets are part of our family, and it's just been really, really difficult.
I told you when you lost it that the only way to get over that is to get another one.
Well, I don't know that you ever really get over it. I just kind of have managed.
No, you don't, but you know.
Yeah, and I think when I saw Sam's little face light up, and he's so stressed at school every day, and I think this is going to be really positive for him. He's in the 8th grade now, and being able to come home to this unconditional love, you know, me, of course, but also...
But you don't wiggle your butt like the little dog.
Oh, no, and he named the dog Panzer, which is a German tank. Who knew? He's a German Shepherd. So there you have it. So listeners, we would love to hear you. Call in anytime, 760-542-4307. So many of you join us in our chat room, and I'm going to launch that right now. And again, that's 760-542-4307. And I just want to tell you a little bit about Tez Brooks, this author, and this wonderful, wonderful book that he has written. Just a little bit about him. He's a former editor, international speaker, and certified Stephen minister whose passion is to see hundreds husbands and fathers succeed as courageous men of God. Which, what a goal is that? That is just terrific. Tez and his wife Christine are full-time missionaries. They have 2 children together and 2 adult children from Brooks' first marriage. They currently reside in Orlando, where Tez serves as a film writer producer for the Jesus Film Project. Welcome, welcome, Tez Brooks.
Hey, it's good to be here. How you doing, Michelle? Perla?
Well, we are delighted to have you, and I just absolutely love this book, and I think it's going to reach and help so many people. What in the world inspired you to write this book?
Well, that's a good question. I when I was going through my divorce and raising the kids alone, there was really nothing out there for single dads, at least not with a Christian worldview, which is kind of what I lean toward in the book. There was just really nothing out there for me, and so I struggled for a long time. I was single for 7 years, and I was remarried when I married Christine. I was probably about 2 years into the marriage when I finally realized that I need to stop putting this off and help some other dads that are going through this and just tell my story and the stories of several other men that are in the book.
And I absolutely just loved it. And I've got a question, just a really quick side note question, because I love your lighthearted sense of humor. But on page 14, you describe things that you have done. And Tez, my background is I have a theology degree from Abilene Christian University, and I've studied studied that my whole life and been to church my whole life, and I have never heard of a police chaplain. What is a police chaplain?
The cops need a chaplain, too, to when they're
so
going to...
So it's like a military.
Chaplain.
Like, if you're in the military, one of my dear friends is a military chaplain, so the police have a chaplain. The police department have a chaplain. Fire department probably has a chaplain, too, correct?
Yep. That's
well,
right. Only my job...
Well, I just didn't know if you were policing people. You are not praying hard enough. You need to focus. I wasn't really sure about that, so I thank you. Thank you for clearing that up. I absolutely so loved your metaphor of the cars and navigating the road in your book. That was just so terrific. Why did you decide to do that?
Well, that actually just came by accident. You know, I started writing, and every chapter that I wrote, I realized I kept using the analogy that was somehow related to cars, whether it was, you know, your divorce feels like a 10-car pileup, or after the divorce, you kind of feel like you put yourself on Kelley Blue Book, you know, as far as your self-worth. It just came about, and I said, okay, God, I guess this is what you're wanting me to do, to have this theme run through the whole book. So,
well, yeah, and I think it works especially for your, you know, for the reader, which is typically male, and certainly later on in the book, I just loved your minivan versus the sedan versus the, you know, all of the, that. It was just terrific. So tell us a little bit about your unique journey and your road to becoming the single dad.
Sure. Well, it was an unexpected journey and certainly not one that I had planned on. Divorce was kind of taboo in my family. No one had ever really went through a divorce. And I just believed you could work out anything and work through it. But I quickly learned you can't make somebody love you. Mm-hmm. And so once I realized this was happening, I was probably married to about 10 years, and we had two children. And for the 7 years that I was a single dad, I had the kids living with me probably half of that time. It was a big wake-up call to realize this is stinking hard, raising kids by yourself without a helper, you know, without your husband or your wife. And, I made a lot of stupid mistakes, and I think I talk very openly about some of those stupid mistakes. But I think by God's grace, I made it. And the kids are healthy adults now, and we're on the other side of that.
Yeah, congratulations. That is just terrific. But listeners, this is such a great, it's such a lighthearted look, and I so appreciate it in chapter 4 on page 42. Each chapter starts with a quote, and the quote is, Siri, where can I hide a body? I mean, that is hilarious. That is just so, this is the kind of humor, listeners, that you're going to get throughout this book, and it's really full of God's grace and wisdom. I mean, it really is divine. I can just feel.
It really is, Michelle. You know, let me tell you something, okay? As long as I've been single a very long time, I have dated lots of single dads, and boy, are they messed up.
Mm-hmm.
They should read a book like this because they have no idea what they're doing. They have their kids on the weekend and once a week, and oh, my God, I could see them coming a mile away.
And you know what? You bring up a great point, Perla, because, listeners, here's the thing. Maybe you're a single mom, which means, you know, unless, God forbid, your husband has died, you have an ex. This is a great book to buy your ex. I mean, I have an ex, and we still have a very productive relationship. And if August wasn't 22, I would completely send this book to him, and it would be hey, you know what? Here's a guidebook, and that's really what it is.
Because they don't have a guide. They don't know where to look for advice. They're not that type to talk about things.
Right, and you know, Tez, as you say, you know, many men build their lives on, I have the perfect wife, and then the kids, you know, these accessories, and I have this great big house, and then all of a sudden the rug is pulled out, and their struggle for their identity. Where do they find that identity?
That's right. Yeah, it's a rough road, and you're right. They don't have it together. And I think as men, we want to appear, especially in front of other men, or even in front of couples, we want to appear like we have it together, and this is no glitch. I mean, you know, I'm just moving right along, and I got this together. When in truth, I was a basket case as far as knowing what to do and how to feed my kids. You know, I had a can opener and a microwave.
Yeah.
I had to go buy furniture for the kids, and I don't know if you remember the one story in the book, The Single Dad Detour,
right,
where I talked about buying the dog bed for
right,
my son.
Right.
So, and you could probably relate to that since you got the new German Shepherd puppy.
Yeah, exactly. I need a dog bed. Exactly. Yeah, and that's, you know, and the thing is, when you're after a divorce, you are just, you're as St. John on the cross in the 14th century, you're going through the dark night of the soul here. And you, by the way, have to function. You have to go to work, and you have to raise your kids, and you have to, you know, put on this really happy face. But inside, you're broken and depressed, and you have to put on this, you know, this brave front. But how can a dad authentically lead at such this, you know, this dark night of the soul time in his life?
That's a great question. And I think a lot of it, of course, I leaned on God because of my relationship with God. But, you know, community is huge. And I think so often we try to be an island and do things on our own because we're guys. And I can't express enough the importance of having community around you and people that are there to kind of help you along or even speak into your life and mentor you. And people that are comfortable enough to say, you know what, Tez, you're doing that all wrong. Or what you're doing, it really sucks. You need to do something about this or that. And if you don't have that, then you are in trouble. And so I think for me, my relationship with God and my relationship with a godly community around me is what helps me through that.
And after this radio show, I am donating my book and Perla's book to my church because they do have a single dad's class. And listeners, you know, this book is so, it's full of resources and so full of help. And one thing that I really appreciated, because I saw this in my own life when I was a single mom, that your routine really sets you free. And you gave some really practical advice here on, you know, food to keep in the fridge and how, you know, like what do you do to decorate your house? And in your opinion, why were those things your anchor and important to you?
Well, I think it was more of an anchor for my kids, and I saw that happen, and so that's why I added it in the book. Now, decorating your house is not an anchor. And for most guys, it's not an anchor for us. But I saw how it affected my children opposed to me having a man cave when they would come in and see that my my Mad Max posters were off the wall and suddenly there was a portrait of Grandma there. Or I filled the fridge up with real food rather than sour milk and an old piece of pizza. All of those things really help your kids determine, is this really home for me or am I just camping out for the weekend?
To speak to the same point, on page 100 you talk about specifically holding traditions, however lame they may be. It's important for the security and the well-being of the children who have been uprooted due to the divorce or separation. So that's another, goes along the same, I think, theme of that.
Oh, it does, because traditions mean a lot. And I went through that. My mother died and my dad remarried within a year. And I was a teenager, but I was still young enough to realize or to have feelings of, what are you doing? You know, when this new woman comes in and she's doing things differently and making us comply to her traditions instead of mom's tradition when it came to holidays or birthdays. And so I think we underestimate how valuable those are when we go through a divorce. And we also underestimate how hard it is for your ex-spouse to keep things going. And so I think communication between mom and dad is important, whether you're divorced or not.
Just like that phone call you made on Christmas morning talking about traditions, and you got to hear your kids giggle because you used to go in and sing a carol to wake their children up. And I thought that was just so delightful.
Well, I was fortunate to have an ex-wife who said, yes, you can call at 7 a.m. and wake the kids up and sing over the phone. You know, not every guy has an ex-wife who's that accommodating, so that was special. But when that's not there, you've got to be creative and think of other ways to do these traditions, or at least do a quasi tradition. Yeah.
And I think you bring up a good point, though. You know, when you're in a divorce situation, people of divorce, single people listening, it's not about you. If you have children, it is truly not about you. And I divorced my son's father. I think August was 2.5. Okay, he's 22, and there's not one phone call, not one trip, not one family. I mean, graduation from USC in May. I mean, he is a part of our family, and he always will be, because we share this wonderful human being. And it's, you know, it's a group effort. And my husband, Barry, said to, to my ex, he has a dad. I'm not it. But if I can be a great adult friend, then, you know, and so it's so important to check your ego at the door, people. This is not about you. I don't care what happened. It doesn't matter. This book is so full of wonderful tidbits and great examples of that sort of maturity. And that's one of the things I really appreciated about this book. And again, it's called The Single Dad Detour, Directions for Fathering After Divorce, and that's Tez Brooks, Brooks. And you can call us at 760-542-4307. So here's another thing that was overwhelming to me, finances. And, you know, the responsibility that you face with that. And so talk a little bit about the meaningful change and what happened to you.
Well, it was a rough period, and I remember just the finances, being hard because I was paying for a payment on a house that they were living in, and also a new apartment for me. Mm-hmm. But I realized it had to be. I needed to make sure that the kids, although it's, and I mentioned this in the book, it's healthy to take care of yourself first. As far as physical, mental, spiritual health, because, when that oxygen mask falls down, they always tell you, put it on the kids first and then yourself. Yourself first and then your kids.
Yeah, first and then the kids, right.
Yeah, because you can't really take care of someone if you're not healthy yourself. And so I think that's one of the things I learned, I want to say quickly, but when I look back, I think, it took, the first year or two was pretty hard, and I learned some rough lessons, and it took a while to make that switch and to realize I've got to, whether it's finances or a physical health, whatever it was, the kids are in this too, and it they're not winning. No one wins. It's a lose-lose.
And they didn't ask for it, and they didn't, and they're struggling, even if they say they're not. Just as your example, when your father remarried, you were in your teen years, and that was just... Yeah. This woman comes in and doesn't have any, just the common sense to say, hey, this is your first holiday without your mom. What can we do to accommodate you? And we just throw this kind of situation on these children and expect them to just survive. And what we're doing, listeners, is we're creating a really rocky foundation for future relationships with these little people. And, putting yourself first, and I see... that's why I loved your car approach when you had, the Corvette car, the minivan car, the sedan car. I see so many people out there that are divorced, and all they do is really just think about their own broken heart. And, yes, it's gut-wrenching, and it's the biggest heartache that you can possibly imagine. No matter what happens, it's tough. Mm-hmm. But you know what? You get a small window of opportunity with your children, and it's called childhood, and the window is closing every single day, and they are looking at everything that you're doing. And you have so many great examples in this book, and now you've remarried. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, well, I was certainly not looking to get remarried, and isn't that how it usually works?
Exactly, right.
I went to a singles party just to hang out with the other guys that were single and met this amazing woman 1 year, and I just watched her for the first 2 years. I thought, this woman is way out of my league. She's too good to be true. I can't believe she's never been married before, and she's the same age as me. And then I just began to realize that God was kind of saving her for me. And so Christine and I got married in 2002. We've been married 13 years and had two children together, two wonderful little girls. And I tell you what, life raising children with a spouse is so different than raising them without a spouse. It's like a whole nother life. It's like I died and woke up a different person. It's a different journey, and I'm so grateful that I met and fell in love with Christine. She's the best thing that ever happened to me.
And tell me about, and that's so sweet of you to say, how wonderful. And tell me about the relationship between the two little ones and the two older ones, and how have you navigated that?
Well, it changes as each of them are growing older. When we got married, of course, my two kids actually exchanged vows with Christine after I did, which I still get choked up about that.
Yeah.
you know, they just exchanged vows and said, you know, I promise to honor you as my bonus mom and to respect your home and to love you. You know, it was just sweet. And so when our children were born, the little girls, my kids were already, I think, maybe 14 and 16. So there's a huge gap between them. But, yeah, they talk on the phone. Now my kids are grown and they've moved to outstate. But for a while, Caleb, my youngest at the time, well, he would be middle child now, he was still living with us. And the kids would just knock on his bedroom door and crawl up and wrestle with him in the mornings, and they'd watch cartoons together. And it was just very sweet to see that relationship just blossom. And, of course, that changes. And I want to encourage dads or moms that are listening that the blended family, it doesn't just blend and then that's the end of it. There are seasons in life where, you know, the older kids move away, and that changes sometimes the relationship. But you're always adjusting. And so I would just encourage parents to don't get discouraged if sometimes they're drifting apart a bit because they're getting closer with your ex. That's just, that happens, and it comes in ebbs and flows, and go with it.
Right, exactly. And I know from my own personal experience, there's 9 years difference between my Sam and August, and there was a lot of tension with the older one, August, towards the baby and the attention. Well, of course, my son was born blind, and there was a lot of health issues, so there had to be a lot of attention. But now August is, you know, graduate, taking a gap year for grad school, and Sam and he talk on the phone. I mean, they've never been closer, and planning a trip to go out there, and. And they're so completely different. I've got one that's, you know, kind of a long-haired hippie piece, and God is great. And then I've got a son that, you know, can I just join the military right now? I mean, I'm 13 already. Come on. So it's just, you know, but it works because of the respect that you show, and you just, you know, you just go with it. So blended families are challenging, but as you have mentioned in your book, very, you know, very doable. And so I really appreciated what you said about absentee fathers. What are some of the consequences when these men just decide to put themselves first?
I'm glad you brought that up because it's so common for us men to feel, that our kids would be better off without us, whether we've watched a Hollywood movie that makes us look like idiots or whether we've listened to something on the news that makes us look even worse. I think it's important that the father is intricately involved in the kid's life because studies are, you know, are obvious, and they show that daughters are more prone to being promiscuous when dad's not around, and when there's no male influence in the boy's life, he ends up in jail a lot of times. And so it's just very important that we stay connected, and even if we feel like we're not doing enough for our children or we're not doing it well enough, to stay and stick with it, stay with them, and because they'd rather have a lame father than no father at all.
And isn't it, yes, because these children just have one dad and one mom, and no matter what or what they are, what kind of person they are, I have seen so many times, and I'm sure you have too, Tez, that no matter, the dad could be in prison, but that's their father, you know, and show a little respect just for that. There was an example in your book about a man who was so distraught because he was 2 months behind on his child support, and he was trying so hard to make all of these custody decisions work. And, you know, some believe the court systems are unfair to men in divorce. And so what advice do you have for that, you know, for those men with that resentment and bitterness when they're just, you know, I know a lot of them are good people and just trying to make it work.
Yeah. You know, you're right. There's a lot of states that are quite behind the times as far as thinking that that the mom is automatically the best spouse or the best parent to put the kids with. And that can be discouraging to a dad, to a father who is really good at what he does, but the courts aren't even considering that as an option. And so I guess my advice and encouragement would be to, first of all, again, I know I'm repeating this, but surround yourself with community where people can speak into your life and people can encourage you. There's plenty of places online now that weren't there back in the 90s when I was going through my divorce. There's groups that you can get advice from, whether it's legal or just, how do I make something besides a bowl of cereal for breakfast for my kids? There's so many websites out there that are helpful for dads now. So that would be my encouragement.
And, you know, you don't even have to go to the particular church to go and take advantage of a group that they offer.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I know
that
a lot of times my church advertises these sorts of groups. But I'm telling you, listeners, you can go to your closest church and there's going to be some sort of group. And if there's not, suggest that they start one, because there's so many mentors out there. And those of us that have been through it, right, Tez, all we want to do is help, because we've kind of been to battle and back. And if we can reach back and help somebody, there's only one job description in the New Testament, and that is service. And that is why we are here. Mm. So let's, try to help each other. And speaking of the New Testament and service, how can a dad have a strong spiritual impact on his children even when he's not living with them?
Mm. That was a struggle for me, because I remember piling it on too thick when they were with me, whether it was for the weekend or for the whole summer or as soon as you moved back in permanently. I would go into overdrive trying to make up for lost time as far as spiritual education and teaching them about God. And what it did was it just bored my kids, because they were wanting to be with Dad. They didn't want to come to catechism,
Right.
And
yeah,
so
exactly.
I would encourage dads, when you're with your kids, rather than trying to play catch up, whether it's spiritual training or some other type of training, even just normal etiquette, like how you eat at a table and not be rude. Instead of doubling up on that, just find opportunities while you're driving or taking a hike through the woods or whatever you're doing to just casually mention things and point them to God or to good manners or whatever it is you're trying to teach your children, because they're not coming there to hang out with a teacher. They're coming out to hang out with Dad.
Exactly. And we just have a couple minutes left. Tell us what's the one takeaway from reading The Single Detour Dad that you want everyone to take with them today?
I'd love for them to walk away encouraged to keep going strong, and to know that God is on their side. He's in your corner, and he wants you to win. I do want to challenge them to step up and yet still offer hope and grace to be able to laugh at themselves when they're not perfect. There's so much pressure out there.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Tell our listeners where they can buy this terrific book.
Yeah, they can find it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. They can connect with me on Facebook or Twitter, and I can guide them to wherever it might be on sale. My Twitter account is TezD, as in dog, 63. If they sign up at my website, which is everysingledad.com, if they sign up for our monthly newsletter, I'll send them a free article, 7 Ways Your Church Can Minister to Single Dads.
How wonderful. Well, Tez, we're so, so delighted to have you. Pearl and I enjoyed the book so, so much. And we wish you all the best. And thank you so much for this super important message. I think it's, heartfelt and just terrific.
There is another way to do this,
There is another way. And exactly, there is another way. Well, thank you so much, Tez. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Michelle. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Okay, listeners, that's it. We're so delighted that you joined us and so grateful for the time that you spent. And next week we'll be talking about, all of you that are so heartbroken and you're wondering what is going on in the world. Well, Venus is retro. We're going to talk about that. So until that time, think deeply, seek gently, love much, laugh a lot, work hard, give freely, and for goodness sake, be kind. This is Michelle Cromer.
And this is Perla Maldonado.
And you've been listening to Where Am I Going? Thanks so much, and have a great week.
Thanks.